which if you want to hear that story, go to my website, stevepoggi.com, download my CD, Felony Funny, and you can hear that whole thing. But after that, I took shit really seriously, and I was like, oh, dude, I got a fucking crazy-ass problem. But so I was sober for 2 years, but I was, like, preachy sober, like... You know, this is the way of the light. This is what everyone needs to do. And
you were
I'll never
AA,
drink again.
You were going to AA?
I was going to AA, but I wasn't really using, like, the 12-step program. Like, I was just going there and, like, talking about stuff. And it felt, like, good to go. Like, it felt, like, okay.
You were just using it for comedy time. You were just using it for stage time.
You know, one of the things that really upset me about that is the AA class that I went to, 1 week you would go to and it would be, like, a discussion. And then the next week you would listen to a speaker from, like, a cassette tape. And they put in this cassette tape, and it was all fucking hack jokes that the speaker was using. Like I called the hotel front desk. I said, there's a leak in my sink. And she said, go ahead. Or it's like cheesy fucking shit like that.
That would make you want to drink.
And I knew the comic that did that stuff in St. Louis. So I was like, did he steal it from him? Or did he... But after that, I was like, ugh. And I was good. I didn't drink for 2 years, and then I broke up with this chick that I was obsessed with, this fucking beautiful blonde-haired minx, and dude, she crushed me, and I fucking brought the beast back.
Oh, that's all it takes, huh?
Yeah, this isn't necessarily sobriety, because it's just like I want to make healthier decisions. Like I think of it more of like if I eat a big thing of spaghetti, I'm gonna get heartburn. So if I drink a bunch of booze, the chances of me having, you know, panic attack or anxiety become higher. Like the past year, my physiology has changed in my body, and now I need to take better care of it.
Yeah.
You're becoming an adult.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to buy a gun, and then I'll be an adult.
That's scary.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. 9mm Beretta. I'm in the market.
You're not kidding.
No.
You're not shitting.
I don't believe in the whole gun thing. I think it's a terrible idea.
I love guns.
Yeah, everyone loves guns. You're an American. It's built into your DNA.
You're goddamn right.
It's built in there.
I like bows and arrows.
Yeah,
in my blood.
Good luck shooting a burglar with a bow.
Good luck trying to get that Beretta from, like, the lock, you know.
Oh, no, there's no lockbox. I don't have children. I'm going to have it ready to go.
See?
Oh, dude.
That's where accidents happen.
I was talking to my my idiot roommate, who's been kind of famous amongst my friends for the dumb shit that he says and he does. And I was telling him, like, oh, yeah, man, I'm going to get a gun. And he was like, one time I stayed in this motel room, and it was so sleazy that I took my gun and I duct taped it into my hand.
Oh, my God.
Wow. I was like, dude, that's the most insane
that
shit
is crazy
I've ever heard in my life.
You have to really be careful how you sleep. Damn.
Yeah.
I mean, shoot you in the
face. Can you just set it on the nightstand?
Yeah.
Like, it's got to be.
That is like a horrible, that's a bad idea.
I'd roll around in my sleep. I'd shoot something.
Dude, I'd shoot my face.
I would definitely shoot something. Accidentally shoot my cat. Shoot someone down the hall. I just watched a terrible, terrible movie on the Netflix called Last Shift about this nice new police lady who's in this thing, and all this scary stuff happens with ghosts. And at the very end, spoiler alert, just don't watch it. It only got 1.5 stars anyways, but she accidentally shoots these guys that were coming in to clean, all three of them, and then she gets shot because the other policeman comes in.
It's like
everybody dies. Everybody dies. That's the moral of guns. Everybody dies.
Sometimes.
Yeah. So, stories of sobriety. It's working out for you right now.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I did enjoy about AA is all the alcoholic construction workers that would come in missing fingers because they were drunk.
Oh, my God.
Took them off.
Drunk at work, lost hands.
Oh, yeah. Well,
time to
not
get
hands,
sober.
But more like fingers. Like fingers. They'd have a bunch of stubs.
Stubby.
Wow. I had to go to AA for a minute, only because it was part of the court-ordered thing for my DUI.
Ditto.
And that was only in San Diego, though. Once I came up here to San Francisco, they did not require that, which was great. It was just a San Diego thing.
Did you ever find the AA kind of scary? I found it kind of scary with all the God and Jesus stuff.
The God and Jesus stuff bothered me. I liked liked the cookies and juice. I just didn't like how it made me feel like church, and it made me feel really guilty. And the first one I went to, like, I just kind of sat there and cried, and they're like, "What's wrong?" And I'm like, "I don't want to be here." And I was, it was awful. And they're like, "Tell us why you're here." And I'm like, "I'm stupid. I got a DUI, and now they're making me do this for my court-ordered thing. Will you sign it? Will you sign my card so I can get out of here? Thanks for the juice and cookies." But, you know, listening to people's stories, it doesn't help me want to be sober. I don't ever want to be sober. There's a reason why I don't have to be sober, and it's because I'm never going to have children, so that I can drink as much as I want whenever I want to.
And you don't have a car.
I don't have a car. So I don't have a problem with it. I really, really enjoy drinking. And there haven't been too many, like, negative repercussions since the DUI and since sort of changing my lifestyle to accommodate, you know, the mass consumption of alcohol. And not the mass consumption. I mean, I'm not like, last night I drank a pitcher of beer. I don't think that's that crazy on a Tuesday.
No.
You didn't do shots.
I don't do shots. Yeah, not anymore. I'm an adult.
It wasn't like you were going all like Keith Richards with like a bottle of Jack Daniels in your hand trying to swig the whole bottle.
No.
I mean, you know, I just, even I was talking to Poji and saying like I'm trying to take a break a week from alcohol. Mine is just vanity. I just want to lose some weight.
Dude, I've lost much weight.
Yeah.
Because I haven't drank at all since 2016. So I've lost about 15, 17 pounds. Between the weight you lose from the alcohol and then just not having the, you know, being better about your diet, not being like, "Oh, I'm all fucked up. I better get, you know, a basket of tater tots."
Grease.
Yeah, cheeseburger with a grilled cheese sandwich in it. That's when it gets bad.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's all about vanity. And that has something to do with your health as well. So that's why, because, you know, I noticed during the Christmas season, I was ultra depressed. And so I found out there's this app called Saucy where you have liquor delivered to you.
Oh.
Yeah.
And I took advantage of that for about 2 weeks and couldn't get out of bed, but I was drinking the hell out of Cook's Brut sparkling wine. And I was just really down the dumps. And then I was talking to a friend. He's like, "Yeah, I'm going to take a break for 2 weeks." And he's a hardcore drinker. And I'm like, "Dude, if that guy can do it, I can do it too." So it kind of motivated me to, like, you know, I've noticed I've like kind of gained a little weight since, and I'm like, you know what, fuck this, the booze will still be there, let me you know, lose some weight or something.
Well, vanity sobriety, I mean, there's a lot of ways to stay sober, and vanity sobriety is one of them.
Yeah. Well, my biggest problem with the AA, like, other than like the super like religious like God stuff, was this sense of like, you have this disease that you're going to live with the rest of your life. I couldn't handle being like, "Oh, I'm just fucked up for life, and I just got to carry this cross." But I've seen other people where it's like, "Dude, you have a disease. You are fucked up for life." But I never felt like that. But to have like no like recovery, like never be fully recovered, to always live with that, it just seemed like you were in this like weird state, and I didn't like that.
Yeah,
it also bothers me, and it's like that. Maybe we'll watch a clip in a little, or listen to a clip from the South Park where the dad goes to AA and he's like, "That's it. It's a disease. I can't help it." And he just keeps getting drunker and drunker. "I can't help it." And I feel like it is sort of a cop out. "It's not me. It's God. It's in the hands of God. I can't do anything." You weak piece of shit. You can't. "It's not me. I'm powerless. I need a higher power so I won't drink." Seriously.
Some people do, man. Some people get so fucked up.
But what's like, wrong with them that they can't say, "Oh, I am a human being with thoughts and feelings"? People that blame things. Now, I don't believe in the existence of a God anymore because I was raised to believe in it, and I drank the Kool-Aid, hook, line, and sinker. And now what I say is that there is no God, and you people are just weak. And it's a disease. You know, it's a disease if you get to the point where you have DTs and you can't live your life without drinking alcohol because you're so shaky that you could have
a seizure.
That's when it's a disease. But it's still not in the hands of God. It was in your hands, and you couldn't handle it. And it's the same thing when you're If you're addicted to heroin, you're fucking addicted to heroin. And it's not like, I'm just going to stop because your body's like, I need this heroin. But it's reliable. Are any of us like that far down the road right now?
No,
I don't think so.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, that's the big thing about it is everyone's shit is completely different. So if you don't have a good way of being honest with yourself or looking at yourself in like a reflective manner, then you're going to be fucked. But I feel like a lot of these people that get super far down the rabbit hole, it's more of like a self-punishment. Sure. Like, it's not suicide, but it's like I said, I was sober for 2 years and I broke up with this girl and then I felt bad and she had like cheated on me.
You got depressed.
I felt worthless. So then it was like, I'm just going to fucking shove this shit in my face and get all fucked up.
Yeah.
Right. And I did for a long time, but man, fuck it. I've been tased, hit in the head with fucking bottles.
There's also the factor that a lot of, you know, people turn to like drugs and alcohol because of trauma, you know, childhood trauma and other things that have happened in their past that I noticed even when I went to AA because of my DUI. And I never heard anyone in that whole group when I would go talk about like anything to do with their childhood, you know? And I think that has something to do with why people do what they do. There's something traumatic that has happened to you that you go so down in the hole, and it you might have it like in a black box in your head one day, and then all of a sudden there's something that unleashes it, and all that comes back to you, and then you go down the downward spiral, basically. And I don't think a lot of like AA, they don't talk about that as much.
I feel like it's a lot of people who have had something horrific happen to them, and they refuse to accept it as reality.
Yeah.
So then I think that's where you get a lot of the suppressed stuff.
Absolutely.
And because I remember when I was going through it, I described is like, imagine like you're standing in a river, right? And then like your problems and your thoughts are like these boxes that are floating down the river, and you see this huge big box and you're like, oh god, this is gonna be a big ass fucking problem, what the hell? And you open it up and then it's not that bad, and you're like, oh fuck, that's all right. But then you see like a little like ring box floating down, you're like, ah, look at this dinky thing, like, oh my god, there's something intense in here. This is really fucking me up.
I like that metaphor.
See, I don't drink because I'm trying to escape anything. I drink because I'm fucking bored. And why do I smoke so much weed? Because the world is a boring, lackluster place. It's not fun, and I just have much more fun when I'm high.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. Like, you know what? Babysitting, it's okay. Babysitting when you're high is fucking fun. Like, oh, we're going to a park. I'm going to walk around with you, and we're going to play on the playground. I'm going to follow you around. I hang out with a two-year-old, and he is so entertaining when I'm high on weed. Now, I would never show up drunk to a nanny gig, but I'm always high. And then someone might say, oh, well, you have a problem with marijuana. No,
I
think,
don't.
I think marijuana is a motherfucking solution.
It is a solution. I don't believe in that. Come on now. You can... I run when I'm stoned. I
Absolutely.
Clean when I'm stoned. I work when I'm stoned. And I can handle it because I know how my body functions. I know my body. I think a lot of people don't know their body. That's the problem.
Sure.
And they're so used to people preaching to them about, well, this is what that does. And they say, okay. And they run with it rather than like, well, let me see how my body will perform with this. And I'll make my own decision. People are robots. They're used to everyone making decisions for them.
Right.
And that's the problem. And when it comes to alcohol, I was raised Catholic. Catholics drink. So, you know, I was drinking when I was a kid. So, I mean, it was nothing to me in high school when people were getting drunk. I wasn't getting drunk. I was getting high and taking ecstasy. I had surpassed that already. And now I notice I do drink a lot more, but it's not... Maybe
you're a bartender.
I'm a bartender, and I just admitted that I was depressed and I took advantage. And the thing is, I'm not in denial about that. And I knew I'm like, well, let me get out of this hole. You know, it's just those things where it's just like, I'm not gonna let this take control. You know, I'm not gonna use this as a clutch. I was sad for a couple weeks. Get the fuck over it. Keep going. Go for a run. Shit.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I mean, it is like Pam says, because now now, like, because I've completely eliminated drinking, and then with marijuana, it's like I'm probably at like 3 or 4% of where I was to where like. Like yesterday, I didn't really smoke till like later on in the evening. So when, because it does fuck with my sleep. That's the biggest change so far with the pod is not smoking. Like it's hard to go to sleep, but I've hit that point now to where it's like everything feels really fucking boring. Nothing. Like my favorite thing to do would be to smoke a joint and then go lay in the bed and watch Cosmos and fall asleep. Like that was my absolute favorite thing. But you lose that thing. So then, but at the same time, it's like, okay, so things are becoming kind of boring. Well, I need to make them more exciting then. You know, I need to just throw myself into something silly because I was into Christmas music and all kinds of shit. And so that's why, like, with this date thing that I'm going on, me and this chick, we're going to go to Point Reyes.
Oh, nice.
And then we're going to walk around. But then I decided to make this game for, like, while we're walking around of just, like, goofy shit because she's also a comic. So
that's sweet.
Yeah, I know. I told my boyfriend Jonathan last night. I'm like, can you see what he's doing here?
Yeah.
I'm like, it's like
that's you, game.
It's game. Well, he never my boyfriend as this girl who he's going on a date with. She's never really dated, but I never dated either. No one ever dated me. Like when I was in college, I went to frat parties and I met a guy who liked me, and then we ended up getting married. We never went on dates. We didn't. No one's trying to woo me. There's no wooing. No one woos anymore. It's the only woo. Yeah.
The romance.
Only, the woo that you get is like, woo, come over here, or woo, I just swiped right on your face. There's no. There's no more like wooing. It's like.
Or the wooing is basic. Like I'll take you to dinner.
No one ever takes me to dinner. No one ever did that because all that I missed all that awkward dating stuff.
Yeah, it's a job.
That's what my good friend Katie says it's is that job. She was dating for a while. She dated all last summer on the OKCupid, and she's like, it's a full time job.
It is.
And like, she started drinking a lot more because what else do you do? You don't want to go out to coffee with a dude. That's dumb.
No, there are a lot of people that do coffee dates. I'm like, fuck that. Let's drink. I'm like, yeah. When I was dating and I kind of miss it. I like the fact that you just put all your cards on the table, and sometimes when you're drinking, the real person comes out.
Right.
You know, when you're having coffee and tea together, and you're having the daytime date, you know, you're trying to put on you're staging each other. You're like actors. Yeah. You're actors. We're acting right now. What do you do? No, what do you do?
That's why you gotta be drunk for that shit.
Fuck that. Let's have some wine.
Yeah.
Some weed. Talk and get shit space and see what happens. You might get lucky. I don't know. I've always been that kind of girl. I don't
see
care.
That's what I like about being a comic and having this happen with another comic is because when you're a comic, there's always like a little bit of awkwardness in your life because you're crazy enough to think that you can walk up to a room full of strangers and make them just have a good time for 7 minutes or 5 minutes. So it's like with that, it's like. All right, let me push something out there that's kind of weird. Where like a regular civilian would be like, "Oh my God, can I believe that you said that?" And blah, blah. Whereas with the comic, it's like, "I accept your challenge, and I will, return to that."
That makes it fun. Yeah.
Fun without drinking. I didn't think it was possible. You guys can have fun without drinking if you drink Alta California Botanicals, the best tink in the biz. If you don't know what tincture is, go to your local dispensary and ask for it by name, Alta California Botanicals. 6 different methods to help you be well. Laughter is the second best medicine. Alta California Botanicals is the first. They're also one of the sponsors of the 2016 Mutiny Radio Comedy Festival that's going to be here at the station. 25 shows in 5 days, March 2nd through 6th. It's going to be awesome. You can buy your tickets right now on universe.com. And if you buy a day pass and you tweet us or Google Plus us, you get a 5% discount. Ooh. But not if you buy individual tickets, only if you buy the day pass. So you got to, but the day pass means you could go to all 5 shows for a mere $35. And if you do all the extra tweeting and twatting, then it's only $30. You get to see 5 hours of amazing comedy from 24 international and national comedians and 20 in-town comedians. It's going to be a really good time. So,
and they probably will be drinking.
And one of the good things about Alta California, too, is they're one of the few tinctures that actually have a sticker on there that gives you a breakdown of how much of each cannabinoid is in each batch so you can get a more approximate idea of what you're ingesting, what you're taking in. And it's not just about, like, if you want to get THC and you want to get high, you have that option. But then there's other cannabinoids and acids from the plants that are kind of utilized for you to help you with specific things. So, like, one thing, like, even though I'm sober now, or not sober, just, you know, enjoying my health, I still will use the anxiety relief, which is mainly CBD. There's trace amounts of other cannabinoids in it, but it's focused more on just the CBD, which is what you're hearing a lot of in the news with the medical people and solving seizures and stuff like that.
Yeah, seizures, kids with epilepsy, and their lives have been changed by taking a combination of cannabinoids, but specifically CBD is one of them. But in combination with, like, THCA for pain and all these other things, it's really quite amazing stuff. Science.
Yeah. Science.
And if you have questions, if you're trying to cure something specific, or if you really want to remedy, like, you know, something within you, you can always give us a buzz on the hotline bling.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we don't have that information directly for you, we can definitely get it for you for what would be best for you to take. And there's some new ones coming out on the horizons to aid with insomnia and other things, too.
And CBDA is the new thing. So THCA is the acids of THC, and if you heat it up, it becomes THC. It's like when the plant is growing, it's the part of the plant that's like, hey, grow, grow, grow. And it's the acids of the plant. And it's a massive anti-inflammatory. It's really good for you. It deals with pain. But if you heat it up, it turns into THC. Nightmare juice. But now there's CBDA. So it's the acids of the plant before it flowers, when it's specifically a CBD strain. And this stuff is supposedly off the charts. They're bringing it in to us today. I believe we're going to be guinea pigging it. And you'll love this. It works for weight loss.
That's the one that I remember you were discussing.
CBDA.
Yeah.
Just this one of the guys who works up there at the farm and with the Alta California Botanicals, he said he's like lost 40 pounds and he's attributing it to the CBDA.
Wow.
And I was like, dude, Al, if you've got a weight loss cannabinoid, you can make $1 million. Like, it's going to
more than
$1
that.
$1 million.
And that's why I always tell people, like, it's not, like, if you want to get high, you can get high, but, you know, I wouldn't necessarily recommend anybody who's never smoked pot or drank to do so, but at the same time, if you want, I would never tell anybody to go pharmaceutical routes or things like that. So it's like, if you're looking for the holistic approach to, you know, a better wellness and a better being, I think this is a great place to start. You got to do a little bit of experimenting because it's still, you know, on the cusp of science and coming out of what things can and can't do. And it does react differently for different people, you know, like with the THC, the euphoria. I hate that shit. I don't even like looking at the bottle. But Pam loves it.
I love it.
So
that, dude. That is a panic attack in a bottle.
And you experience that, so that's why
it took me to the fucking nether realms, and I never want to go back there.
Alta California Botanicals, bringing you to the nether realms. So they're one of the sponsors of the festival, but another sponsor is PBR, which is very exciting.
Yeah, I got a Pabst hat.
Support PBR. Also, Asiento up the street from us, they are going to be, if you say that you're coming from the Mutiny Radio Comedy Festival anytime during the festival, they're going to give you happy hour prices all night.
Oh, wow.
So that's exciting. There's a special party on Thursday the 4th at the Eagle SF. They're one of our sponsors, and they're going to be hooking us up. Also, Subliminal SF is doing all of our artwork, auditory and visual mind control. And then Brainwash is another one of our sponsors, and they're having a special show on Saturday the 5th, which supposedly is going to have free beer at it. He's getting another sponsor for that too, so it should be exciting.
And I'm trying to work it out to see if it's possible. I still have to look at my schedule and film shooting, because I'm shooting Pete's feature-length film during this time.
Ooh.
But I might be able to transport people back and forth from places or to home with the van.
Wow.
As an added luxury. So instead of buying an Uber or something, it might be like $2 or something per person to anywhere in SF. So
nice.
It's going to be a whole shindig. Get a shovel. We're digging.
It's hopefully everything works out and it's going to be a good time.
It will.
So go get your tickets and support us here at Mutiny Radio. So you guys are listening to the AltaCast right now. I am joined by LaToya, the Sheriff of Truth Wynn, guest Steve Poggi. I'm Pam Benjamin. We're going to listen to a little Amy Winehouse, and then we'll be right back. I mean, why not play some Rehab, right?
Right. Yeah.
And we'll come back with some more sobriety stories. I don't have any, like, personal ones, but I know people who've tried it unsuccessfully. All right. Enjoy some Amy Winehouse. She's dead.
Oh.
You know, it's really
booze.
Sad.
I tried to make me go to rehab. I said no, no, no. Yes, I've been black, but when I come back, no, no, no. I ain't got the time, and if my daddy thinks I'm fine, just try to make me go to rehab. I won't go.
Not for our friend Amy, but she's dead now.
Yeah, I think she probably should have went for...
Well, and that's what I learned. One of the girls that I nanny for, who is just a doll, she was listening to the song Rehab, and her mom, she's I think 9 now or 10, and her mom said, "Do you know what that song's about?" And she was like, "Yeah, she was doing too many drugs, and they wanted to put her in a place," and she said no. And I'm like, wow. You know, at that age. And then I said, "Oh, well, you know, but Amy Winehouse, she was doing all these drugs." And that's when the mom told me, she's like, "She died of alcoholism." And I'm like, "Nah." She's like, "She died of a heart attack because she was consuming so much alcohol." I didn't think that that was... I didn't think that was a possible thing.
Oh, yeah. Alcohol can kill you. I mean, we've said this so many times before about things in moderation.
Right.
You know, and that's what it, I mean, she took it to the next level. That's what happened, you know. And it's unfortunate. It really is, because you hear about people ODing on, like, you know, drug, like heroin and stuff. But alcohol is actually one of the scariest things to get. It's hard to get off of. It's really hard.
It's like, the only thing you can die from withdrawal. With everything else, you'll feel like you're going to die, but alcohol is the only thing with withdrawal.
Yeah, actually die. Yeah.
So I drank a lot in college. I was hung out with my then boyfriend, who became my husband. He was the president of his fraternity. It was a white fraternity. He was black. Didn't matter. I am a girl, and I hung out with him all the time. And I drank. I mean, I was drinking, like, I don't know. I'm gonna guess. Because I would shotgun beers. I'm going to say I was drinking about 18 beers a night. Like 18 Natty Lights.
Damn.
And at the time, I was in college, and I was a dance minor. And I was pushing 150 pounds. I was about 148 or whatever. But I was working out all the time, and I couldn't figure it out. And I was like, why am I so big right now when I work out so much? And it's just that the calorie intake alone of the 18 beers a night I was drinking. And these were like Natty Lights. So it wasn't like, you know, now I have 4 IPAs and I'm tossed because it's higher alcohol. It's, I don't even know how many calories are in that. But okay, so I was hanging out with all these guys. I was really good at shotgunning beers, and it was like a game, like, oh, pig, shotgun a beer. It was so funny. And then beer bonging, all of that. I was very, very good at it. I excel at drinking. I'm very good at it. But when we started getting older and we were out of college, I was still friends with the same guys who were in that fraternity because my husband moved on. He kept the same friends, and they did football. They all got season tickets for the Chargers together, and they were doing all this. And there's one friend who was like, he used to be so much fun in the life of the party and just a really nice guy. And then there was this woman that he met, and he decided to marry her. And I told him, I wrote him a letter. I was like, don't marry this lady. Your life is going to be ruined. And he was like, no, I think I love her. I think this is it. This is it. This is the one. And then, like, shortly after the wedding, they had their first kid, and then they ended up having 2 kids after that. And he hid his alcoholism so well. He was drinking. He finally got in trouble for it because he was drinking out of a water bottle at work, and it was vodka. Oh, and he was like bouncing down. He wanted to be a dentist. He ended up selling insurance. So he married this woman who was like not nice. He had a bunch of kids that he, I'm sure he loves his kids now, but, and he was living this life selling insurance. It was just making him so unhappy that he was constantly drinking vodka. He had one in the car. He had one under his bed. He had one at work in the drawer. And so when everybody finally found out and he's like, hey, I'm an alcoholic, we were like, nah. And he was like in that withdrawal thing, like where he'd wake up in the middle of the night and he had to have that bottle of vodka under the bed because he'd start seizuring. But the thing that brought him there was that he was so depressed because his life was so not what he wanted it to be. And like, is that like where so much of our drinking stems from? Is like, yes. I'm not happy. But see, it's different for me. For me,
it's different for you because you're social. What you're doing, because the majority of your days are spent with working at the station, doing your comedy, and it's mostly social. It's not because, like, you know, I went to a Christian school and I'm mad, so I'm going to keep drinking, or I don't get along with my parents, so I'm going to drink. No, it's because the fact of the matter is what you're doing, the environment that you're in is social.
Yeah.
And so that's part of what it is. You know, just like how I bartend, that's part of what it is. You know, but what you're talking about with your friend, that is one of the biggest things that a lot of people go through, but they're in denial. Because again, like I was talking about, like how people are, you know, he conformed.
Right.
That's the problem. The people who try to conform, you know, go to college, get married, have kids,
sell insurance.
Sell insurance.
Buy a house.
I mean, there's so many unhappy stories of like that conformity.
Get a GMC Suburban thing.
Yeah, exactly. Those people are, that suburban life, a lot of those people are miserable. That's why they pop pills and they drink and they hide it really well.
Absolutely.
Until the point where you can't hide it anymore.
Right.
Because they conformed and they're now miserable. And I'm not saying that's their fault or anything else. I think it's society that says, well, this is what you're supposed to to do in order to be successful. And you're a robot, so do it. And they do it, and look what happens.
And then they're not happy, and then they have to break outside the box.
See?
Speaking of not happy, so Amy Winehouse's death was listed as a coroner by death of misadventure, and her blood alcohol content was 0.416.
0.416. When I blew, after my car got flipped three times and they dug me out and they gave me a breathalyzer, I was at 0.153. And that was 4 hours after my last drink.
Yeah, like they said that the unintended consequences of such a potentially fatal levels was her sudden death.
Jesus, man. It's a heart attack from death of misadventure.
Your body just goes, there's so much booze in here, we're just shutting down.
Yeah, we can't breathe anymore.
Fuck you, get out.
I had a friend who died in San Diego because he was drinking with Vicodin. He had taken like 12 Vicodin and he was drinking whiskey. He had like 12 shots of whiskey and 12 Vicodin and he died. His body forgot how to breathe. It just was like, okay, bye.
Oh, yeah. My God.
There's been a ton of stories like that. I know one guy who drinking and took pills and he was so sedated that he like rolled over like face down on the couch and like, he ended up smothering himself so fucked up that he couldn't get out.
Jesus.
So yeah, I mean there's a lot to fucking lose with this shit, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Especially it's like one thing, like you said, if you're drinking to have fun, hang out with people, or if you're drinking, you know, because you have a water bottle full of vodka at your insurance office.
Yeah.
Or because you have to dress up like Chuck E. Cheese and be around the kids.
Well, that would kind of be a fun job.
The drunk mouse is back.
The drunk dead mouse. The worst consequences that I, like, have from getting too drunk. And it only happens when I don't eat dinner and then I get too drunk and then I don't even throw up anymore. But the biggest one, and Poji said this never happens to him. We were in the car the other day and you're like, I can't believe someone does that. I've peed in strange places before. I've peed in plants in hotel rooms thinking that it was the bathroom. I've been woken up by people in a hotel room saying, that's not the bathroom, Pam. Peeing in a plant, that's happened to me. I've peed in the bed. You know, that happens sometimes. But what I usually do now, Blackout Pam is smarter than she thinks. So what happens now is if I come home and I know I'm so drunk, and I'll even sometimes pee first, but if I sleep on the floor, on the carpet, with like my head's kind of buried in my hands, I tell Jonathan, my boyfriend, don't move me. Don't pick me up. Don't take my pants off. Those are a sponge to wick up the urine, you see. Don't think you're not helping by taking off my pants, okay? Because Blackout Pam is smarter than you. And she knows that she's probably going to pee. Don't put me in bed. Don't do that.
No pee bed.
No, don't do it. Don't want to have to, because I've woken up. I woke up once, and I think I don't know if it was Jonathan or drummer comedian Aaron Barrett, and I looked at him, and I'm like, who just peed in the bed? Did you just do that? They're like, okay, fair, that was totally you. And then I'm like, and I'm trying to like deal with all the sheets and wash them in the tub, get all the hot water going. And then I'm awake. I'm like, fuck.
Right. Oh,
but
no.
So if you ever come across me in my house on the floor sleeping,
don't touch her.
Don't touch. It's just leave me. Go sleep in my bed because it's not going to be any pee in it. It's going to be way better.
Like, this would be a good reason why to wear Depends.
And here's a ridiculous thing. I have a lot of baby diapers in my house, and so I use them more for like if I'm having my period and I don't want to. I don't like sticking things in me when I'm sleeping. I don't. It's just weird. I can't deal with it.
Unless it's your boyfriend.
Not relatable.
Not really. But if you, I'll put the diaper down and I'll kind of sleep on the diaper so that I bleed on the diaper and then in the morning just kind of wipe it up. But I should do that if that ever happens again. And I wonder really the absorbency of a diaper. Is it enough to get all? I mean, because I peed in the cat box before and I really decimated an entire. Like, it's more pee than you think it is. Like, yeah. The cat pee is little pee. I wasted a lot of litter, clumping litter, by peeing in the cat box. Mistake.
I think I've wore a Depend before, so I think you're fine.
I played a lot of role-playing computer games in the basement, which didn't have the bathroom at the time, so I peed in a lot of empty milk jugs and various things. Dude, I'm a big fan of the piss jug.
Tell the story about why you couldn't play football anymore in high school and the art group.
Yeah, so I was a sophomore in high school, and I was a troublemaker, and I was in my art class, and the way it was set up for finals was you would have, I believe it was two classes a day, so they were half days, but each class was 2 hours long, so you'd go to one two-hour class, 20-minute break, two-hour class, and I was playing football, and I was in poor shape for a class, but she was like, look, Steve, she's like, I know you like football, you might not be into painting and sculpting, and that's fine, so what I need you to do is you're going to come in on the final, you're going to help me clean this room, you're not going to leave, you're not going to be create a disturbance, I'll give you a C, and you can pass and you can play football. I said, all right, great. So, again, water bottle full of vodka.
Oh, wow.
I brought that in, and after my first one, I'm like, I don't have anything to do for 2 hours. Fuck it. I was bored right before I even got there. So I pounded this bottle of vodka in 20 minutes with this juice. Because we had a juice machine. That was when, they first started doing, we need healthy alternatives.
Fruitopia?
Yeah. So.
Sugar.
So then I get the juice, and I fucking slam this water bottle down, and I'm feeling fucking great. I get to art class, and I'm cleaning and singing and having a good old time. And sure enough, I've got to pee. So I'm like, her name was Miss Braun. I'm like, Miss Braun, I got to go use the bathroom. I'll be right back. She was like, no, you are not leaving this classroom. You're not leaving my site. You're staying in here for the whole 2 hours. I was like, no, I really have to pee. And she's like, it's too bad. I'm not leaving. I'm not getting out. So we had this little drying room with a sliding door, and I have these empty water bottles. So I get this knucklehead who I knew, and I have him watch the door, and I go in there and start peeing into this bottle. But again, when you're drunk, you pee way more than you really anticipate, because alcohol is also a diuretic. So I'm like filling up this water bottle. Next thing I know, I hear the door to the drying room slide open, and then I hear the teacher start screaming, he's playing with himself, he's playing with himself, call security, no. He's playing with himself. And I come out of there, I don't even get to tuck my dick back into my pants, I just gotta zip him up, pinch it off, and I'm like, what's going on, everybody, I ain't doing shit. And I hand the bottle of pee off to the guy who's supposed to watch the door, who failed. And he throws it
back to the pee. This is where the pee comes in.
He throws it into the backpack, but I didn't tighten the cap on the bottle.
Oh, God, no.
So he got pee all over his backpack and all over his stuff. Enjoy that, Richard Rains. And
he got pissed off.
So then she calls up the security. She's like, I need someone to come up here. I got a student in the class who's masturbating. And so the security comes up on their little golf carts. And, of course, I know all the security officers because I've been in trouble nonstop. And so the guy's like, his name was Joe, and he was so cool. He was like, dude, you were jerking off in the class. I was like, no, man, it was really hot. I was just adjusting myself. My boxers were all wedged up. She wouldn't let me use the bathroom. And he's like, well, you smell like vodka. And I was like, well, I've got a pack of gum. He was like, all right. So I put every piece from that pack of gum. It was like one of those big extra Trident things. And I've got this fishing lure full of gum in my mouth. And I'm in there. I'm talking to the principal. And he's like, dude, this is 45 minutes till the end of the school year. What the fuck? And I'm like, man, it was hot. You know, my shit was all bunched up. It wouldn't let me go to the bathroom. And I said, fuck it. I'll go into the laundry room and just, straighten my shit out. And so then this cop had to come in and investigate me for some sort of sexual crime in a public school campus kind of thing. And he's like, ask me all this stuff. Do you have urges to masturbate frequently? And all this stuff. And then finally I was like, officer, look, man, I just got really fucking drunk. And then I had to pee. And then she wouldn't let me out of the classroom. So I tried to pee in this bottle. And she fucking busted me and caught me and said I was jerking off. And he was like, all right, fine. And then he goes back and he's like, nah, the kid wasn't masturbating. He's like, we're more than 100% confident in that. He just had to adjust himself or whatever. But since I got kicked out of that classroom, she failed me for that class.
Oh.
And then I became ineligible for the junior year football season.
Which would have been varsity.
Yeah, so then I practiced the whole year through the team. And then finally, after the first quarter when grades get semi-reported, I was eligible again. So I'm practicing all all week leading up, and it turned out to be like a homecoming game, and I'm finally back on the field. I'm finally starting. The game's Friday night. Wednesday, my grandmother dies. I have to fly out to Missouri, and then the godmother who I was living with at the time calls up and goes, I can't handle living with a teenager. He's not coming back. And I never got to play.
Oh, my God.
Again, but I practiced every single day. And I still have my football helmet because all my gear was with my buddy. And they kind of hawked over my shoulder pads and everything else like that. But he saved the helmet for me. So I
aw. That's so bittersweet.
And I never played again.
And
I didn't want to play with other people.
And why is Steve Poggi going through sobriety? It seems that this has been, I mean, I know you're 30 now. So that was half your life ago.
31, February 25th. 32. We're getting old.
You're sure you are.
Yeah.
Aging graceful.
Yep. There you go.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a thing. I didn't start drinking till I was like, I mean, I drank because my parents always drank, but it would be like a sip of dad's beer, or they'd be like, would you like to have a glass of wine at Christmas? And I was so Christian that I didn't do it. There was a Christmas party I went to at the Orvix house, and I drank eggnog, which I love eggnog. If you've been listening to other shows, you'll know that I love the fuck out of eggnog. And so I would hang out at this one house, and they would, like, be cool with drinking. And I never really got, like, super wasted, but I was like, I had a couple cups of eggnog, you know.
Right.
But I didn't really drink in high school. And then I got to college, and I was like, I found my thing.
College turns you out.
I think I found it. Yeah. I was like, I'm going to do lots and lots of acid and smoke tons of weed, and I love drinking and smoking, and I'm good at it. I'm fun. I'm way more fun. Like, I went from being, like, super stick-in-the-mud prissy pants to being like, I am fucking fun. Yeah. there was that one almost rape. But other than that, it was really...
almost. They didn't
accomplish. I didn't get raped because the thing is that I've always been like I hang out with dudes. Like,
right.
I'm the girl that hangs out with dudes. It's just been the way it is. And comedy makes a lot of sense for me because it's all dudes and I just hang out with them. And I've always been that way. I've always just wanted to hang out with the guys. Like, that's kind of what I do or what I enjoy doing, and I seem to be able to relate to them and deal with it. Frat guys and I don't usually have girlfriends, you know. I have like a couple close girlfriends, but mostly I hang out with dudes. Ooh, I'm high now, by the way. So that shit is hitting me. The CBD and the THC are being synergistic.
Roaring up out of you?
They're synergistic. But, this is the rape story. So I was really good friends with all, like, the guys. We'd hang out. And we all went down to Rosarito to stay for spring break. And it was the girls. And we were staying in this one place. And then there were the guys. And they were staying, like, next door. And we were all having a lot of fun. And I was, like, I was hanging out with just a lot of dudes. And some of them were really cool. And one of them wasn't. And so I was wasted, like tequila wasted, like in Rosarito, Mexico, wasted. And this one sleazy frat guy brought me upstairs, and he was trying to get my clothes off, and I was out. And like, this guy, his last name was McCune, and they actually owned a bunch of cars. They sell cars in San Diego.
Oh, so
it's like
comes
the McCune family. He came upstairs and he saved me. He was like, what the fuck are you gonna do to Pam? And I think he hit the guy. And it was like a big thing. Like, he carried me downstairs and took me to a different like house entirely and was like, you're safe here. You're staying here.
Wow.
And he saved me from which could have been a potential gang rape, because I mean, it was a bunch of guys in a frat house all in Rosarito,
right,
and there's
right.
drunk bitch upstairs. I mean, it could have been really bad. But one of the guys wasn't a dick, and isn't that so nice?
Wow,
just takes one.
It just takes one.
Because that could have altered your whole experience, you know?
Oh yeah, definitely. That would have been a pretty awful thing to go through in college.
Yeah, well, especially if they were drunk and they were like, all right, guys, she knows we got to kill her. All right. That's lives are at stake here.
Oh my God.
I don't know. That's what you do with drunk girls, isn't it? In fraternities, you find them and then they're wasted and then you all have sex with them. That's what happens, right? In fraternities.
Yeah.
I mean, I
never went. I skipped that institution.
I stopped going to frat parties my senior year in high school.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew better. I'm like, because after just seeing what was going on, and I'm like, this is some bullshit. This is some rapey stuff I've seen on Lifetime
rapey
before.
Rapey stuff.
A lot of hormones
getting
mixed in with booze.
It's just like, and the thing is, and then we're high school girls on top of that, so that's even like, yeah, like you're definitely prey.
That's and strawberries in the fruit salad. Yeah.
And, you know, I've always been afraid of frat parties after having seen what was going on, and look, I went to art school, so we didn't have fraternities.
Right.
But
well, I went to UCSD, so they were all smart guys. So that's the thing is, I was like, oh, smart guys, they must all not be rapists.
I don't trust.
But
them.
I think it goes across all. And it, you, just because you're going to college doesn't mean you're intelligent. Although UC San Diego is kind of like a smarty pants.
You know, I've seen a lot of like house parties where a chick will hook up with a dude, and then like the beta males, the like lesser dudes, think that like, oh well, since she fucked him, she'll definitely fuck me then, because I'm better than him. And like, I've seen a lot of that kind of shit, like people getting beat up for that kind of stuff and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had so when I was in high school, I was convinced that alcohol was kind of bullshit and the people that blacked out were all full of shit because they were just being who they wanted to be or saying what they wanted to say. Because when you're in high school, you just get drunk and, you know, I don't even like Becky. She's a bitch. Like, shit like that. But when I turned 21, that was my first blackout time. And I hooked up with this chick, like, woke up at her place, and, like, had no idea where the fuck I was. No, it was my 21st birthday, fucking was insanely hungover. And worst of all, like, we had fucked around hardcore to the point where that flap of skin that holds onto your tongue, it was cut in from me trying to extend my tongue further than it was capable of going. That was a rough one.
At least you
sobriety.
Yeah. I had her drop me off at the gas station. Had me drop her off at a gas station. I went into the gas station. I bought a tall can, cracked it open right outside. Didn't know that was illegal to do, and just drank it. So my buddy Ronnie came and picked me up. Happy 21.
Dude, nice. This is why they should lower the drinking age, I think, to 18.
Well,
yeah. I really do. I'm sorry. If you're able to go to war and kill people,
you should be able to drink. Absolutely.
Because that's going to fuck you up, so why not fuck yourself up?
Exactly. Well,
and the thing is that hopefully with the future that's happening, people will be more apt to use marijuana as an introductory sort of drug, as opposed to like, it's a gateway drug. Well, alcohol is a gateway drug.
Anything
is Prozac is a gateway drug. Fucking all of it's a gateway drug. And
Oxycontin.
Vitamins are a gateway drug. Are you fucking kidding me? Getting people used to the concept of taking something besides like a food substance. Like, we've made this pill for you. Yeah. Here, kids, take your vitamins. Here, kids, take your vitamins. That's just totally a way of like inoculating them against the fear of taking drugs.
Conform.
I won't even take aspirin anymore.
Conform.
I will take ibuprofen if I'm in a lot of pain. But other than that, like, man, I'm going to smoke weed.
I try to avoid taking ibuprofen or anything, you know, unless, you know, if, like, if I'm really cramping and I'm in a fetal position and I'm like, I can't take this, I'll take some ibuprofen. But, I mean, to me, a lot of pills, like I say, they're a way to control. They're mind control to me.
Sure.
And I honestly, though I'm a bartender, I do feel that out of everything drug-wise, I think alcohol is like one of the worst.
Yeah.
It is one of the worst. But it's so okay.
You don't black out on marijuana.
Yeah.
I've never smoked so much weed that I'm like, I don't remember anything that happened.
Right.
Well, unless it's really boring. You're like, what happened? I don't remember. Oh, yeah, I just talked to Mike about, you know, Walgreens.
I mean, exactly. You still have people in society.
It's not a blackout.
Yeah, it doesn't black you out. You still have people in society that talk about marijuana like it's so evil, but they will drink like a 12-pack.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, you make no sense. You make no sense. How dare you talk about marijuana that way? Here, and I'm gonna give
them some Alta California botanicals. It's we're at the top of the hour, so we're gonna tell you guys that you're listening to the AltaCast here on MutinyRadio.fm. Thanks for listening, downloading this podcast, or if you're listening live. You guys aren't. I told you to call in. If you have your own sobriety failed or successful attempts.
Call it in honestly and just get something off your chest. Were you like an asshole sometime? Yeah. Fucking, you're talking to the gang of assholes. We'll get you right.
415-550-0511. Call us from work, Ruby Gill.
Yeah, call us.
Talking to you.
Let us know how you do.
Well, you know, the other thing I think about too is like with the drugs that really fuck you up, like alcohol or cocaine, once you start doing the drug, you want to do more of the drug. There's been plenty of times where I've smoked pot and then I've just been like, I'm good, man. I'm just going to fucking sit here for a while. Like, I don't want any more. But like when you're on acid, usually you're not like, I want more acid now. You know?
Exactly right.
But when you're on acid, you're like, oh my God, I want to just survive this. Get this wolf to stop singing Christmas carols. Oh, fuck. Why did I do this to myself?
But if you're on cocaine,
you do not want to stop
that party.
Oh, I hate cocaine so much. It turns me into the... I did cocaine for a little bit, and I stopped. Not because it was cost prohibitive, and not because it wasn't ubiquitous, and not because it was damaging my life in any way, other than I became an intolerable asshole when I was on it. Like, I already sort of have a healthy ego and self-esteem and have an ability to talk about myself that surpasses normal human beings. But on cocaine, I think that I'm a fucking genius. Yep. That every word, syllable, sound that drips from my honeyed lips is true from the gods to you. Lucky you.
And then
you get
all
to
wrong.
Hear it. Oh, and I know everything about everything.
It is the egotistical drug. I actually like it.
Oh, it makes me such... I feel like such an asshole the next morning that I don't ever want to do that again because it is... I must be intolerable for other people.
I usually, like, when I'm on it, I just usually speed talk or dance. But I always get ideas. Like, I'm like, hey, you should start selling your paintings in Paris. Like, where the fuck did that come from?
Yeah.
Like,
wait,
it's just like, and now you have this idea of, like, selling something and doing it. And, like, we can do it. And, yeah, let's do it. Another snort. And then, yeah, and so, like, and it's just like, and it's just like, I love this song. Let's dance. That's me.
That's I'm going to ask you if you're my mom and you're going to
Sean Rouse, who will be coming to San Francisco to perform comedy when Dave Attell is here, whenever Dave is going to be here, he has some great jokes where he's talking about crank. He's like, you ever tried crank before?
Yeah.
That shit makes you a crackhead immediately. He's like, you do one line of crank, you come up with all these weird business ideas. Like, let's get a puppy and sell it for a profit. Like, nobody wants to buy it. He's like, well, we'll get a puppy, then we'll shave him, then we'll sell him for a profit. And his other one was like...
Investigations and fluffy public interest faces to news@mutinyradio.fm. We're always looking for writers and contributions. And check out our progressive news links at mutinyradio.fm. So tune in to Stranger in a Strange Land, Saturdays, midnight to 2 a.m.
Oh, man. Do you miss a Mutiny Radio show from your favorite DJ? Did you find out about a guest interviewed on Mutiny Radio a day too late? Are you wishing that you had a time-traveling DeLorean to listen to those shows again? Don't you fret. Simply go to mutinyradio.fm and listen to our podcast. Yes, it's that easy. Click on the podcast button and find your favorite show. Heck, click a variety of podcasts for a sample of all of our great programming here at Mutiny Radio. And don't forget to listen to us live on iTunes Radio under the Eclectic section.
The House of Pride radio show, LGBT radio for everyone.
Funky interviews, funky beats, talking drag queens, and much, much more. It's LGBT radio for everyone.
Listen live every Wednesday, 6 to 8 p.m. House of Pride Radio, LGBT Radio for everyone. Celebrating the considerable contributions of the LGBT community in San Francisco and beyond. Every Wednesday, 6 to 8 p.m. Listen here for hot new local beats by LGBT artists and listen to live interviews. Tune in, turn on every Wednesday, 6 to 8 p.m. House of Pride Radio with drag queen personalities Tweeka Turner and Pearl T.
Together, I won't be alone.
us every Friday from 8 to 10 p.m. for Pamtastic's Comedy Clubhouse here on Mutiny Radio.
Finally here in San Francisco, which is a good thing. And so I didn't want to bring my computer, because it looked like it might rain. And it's still, the air is super heavy, and it may burst out.
You're tuned in to Mutiny Radio, and this is Labor and Love. Welcome. Hope you had a good week, and I hope you had good work. I'm going to spend a couple hours today working the day shift with you, talking about labor relations.